الشيخ ريدي وين يو ان شاء الله
ريدي ان شاء الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our weekly dars of virtues of Islam with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al Amri. This is lesson number 14. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, our weekly class, فضائل الإسلام, virtues of Islam, this beautiful deen, may Allah Azza wa Jal make us live upon its teachings and die while we are Muslims. Ameen. In previous sessions, my dear brothers and sisters, we discussed that among the beauties of this deen that it blocks all the avenues and ways that might lead to evil. It blocks it to protect the community, to protect the Muslim members from falling into the traps of the cursed one. So the Sharia blocks the ways that might lead to the haram. What leads to the haram, the means that leads to the haram, it becomes haram itself. That's why no free mixing with the opposite sex, because that is the way will lead to the haram. No khalwa between a man and a woman. No privacy between a man and a woman, alone, sitting alone. A man who is not a mahram, women cannot travel without mahrams, because there is risk, and it's risky for them. So this is the beauty of this deen. It would safeguards in the way and barricades, so you will not enter into these areas, the zones of sinfulness. Today we continue, inshallah. Among these precautionary measures the Sharia provided, and the problem with the Muslims, they do not study the deen. Had they studied the deen, they would have realized its beauty. My dear brothers and sisters, the one who created us, he knows what is good for us and what will harm us, because he is our maker, and the maker knows his make, naturally. So if we follow whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we will have peaceful life, happy life, successful life. In this world, as well as in the hereafter. But if we go back in our heels and leave what Allah says, then the fruit will be evil fruit and the consequences will be dreadful. And this is what humanity is going through, because they turned away from Allah's path. So we as Muslims, we have to come back and hold the robe of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the way of salvation. This is the way of success. There's no other way but the way of the divine guidance following the revelation. So among these precautionary measures in Islam, which reflect the beauty of this deen, that women should be dressed modestly, decently, because the biggest fitna, trial, tribulation, our Prophet ﷺ, he feared for his ummah are women. Women. Historically, when you study the decline and decay of many of the civilizations in the past because of corruption, moral corruption, and women played a vital role. One of the enemies of Islam in the last century, he said, "Ka'sun waghaniyatun yaf'alani ma la yaf'alhu alfu madfa'a." Which is true. Ka'sun wa ghaniya, glass of wine and a woman, will be more harmful, more effective than 1,000 cannon against the Muslims. No need to use 1,000 cannons. Just use one woman and one glass of wine. That will do the job. And this is what they are doing nowadays. Because the Muslims by default, when you confront them face to face, they come back to their deen. That way they know where their strength lies. They come back to the deen and they fight. So they have been studying our reactions. So they are using different techniques which will facilitate for them the way to control the Muslim Ummah. So this strategist, thinker, he said, "Ka'sun wa ghaniya," glass of wine and a woman. "Yaf'alani," okay, they cause more damage and harm to the Muslim than what 1,000 cannons can do. So no doubt in what you see in the media, how they are working around the clock to destroy the ethical values and the moral standards of the Ummah. And you can see the downfall and the rate of corruption among the Muslims. And this is one of the divine sunan of Allah Azza wa Jal. When the moral corruption becomes rampant, then Allah's wrath and anger will fall on such people. And destruction is very nigh, very close. So, Al-Islam, Allah who created us and who knows the weakness of men, He addressed the women and told them and instructed them what they should do. So Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 59, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. O Prophet, ask your wives, daughters, and believing women to draw their cloaks or their veils over their bodies, over their bosoms. In this way, it is more likely that they will be recognized as virtuous and not be harassed. And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Let us reflect. So Allah is clearly telling Muslim women, and this is an explicit evidence about the hijab. Subhana Rabbil Azim, you hear those who are ignorant Muslims. They call themselves Muslims, modernist or secularist. Say, there's nothing, there's no explicit proof, there's no evidence in the Quran about the hijab. And this shows not their simple ignorance, it shows their compound ignorance. Because they don't know that they don't know. So their ignorance is compound, as you know. Because many of them, they didn't read the Quran. Maybe when they were still children, when they were young, but then they left the Quran, they don't open it, and they have been brainwashed. So Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, qul azwajika. Because the Prophet ﷺ is the role model for us, and his wives, our mothers, are the role models for our women. So every Muslimah, her mother is her role model. And the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are their mothers. So take them as examples and follow their footsteps. Not that you take kafir women as your role models and you emulate them, imitate them. Whatever the women they do, you follow them. You become a slave for the fashion industry. Today, the fashion is like this. This is how you should dress, this is how you should walk. And all the designs, they aim at only one thing, how to display your body and how to trigger the desire of man. All the designs. And they, not only that, they even modified the design of the dress of the Muslimah, which is supposed to be roomy and overflowing and covering and not revealing her features and contour lines and her body. So you find now the abaya, the dress of the Muslimah, is very tight. The waistline is shown. It is attractive. So it is fashionable. يا أيها النبي قل أزواجك. So the role model is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And your role models are your mothers, the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قل أزواجك وبناتك. So tell your wives, your daughters, ونساء المؤمنين. Okay. So the command is addressed for all the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the daughters of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the women of the believers, the believing women, ونساء المؤمنين. يدنين عليهن. Okay, so you lower and you draw down the khimar and the veil all over your jilbab. So it covers the jabe. Jabe means the opening. So this area is covered. And the whole body. يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. So the Allah is saying so that they will be recognized. Recognized that they are free women. They are harair, not slaves. Because the slave women, slave girls, will not be dressed and covering like that. So when the free women are covered, they will be recognized. In this way, it is more likely that they will be recognized. That they are not slave girls. So no one will dare to harass them or try to flirt with them and talk to them. Because any community, there will be always black sheep, bad people. Few, yes, but they are there, evildoers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Muslim woman to cover themselves. So there will be, from the way she is dressed, this evildoer, womanizer, bad individual, he sees this is a decent woman, okay, the way she dressed, so he would not dare to come near to her. So that is, as Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. So this is, by just dressing decently, you ward off the evildoers, you push them away. The way you dress tells anyone, don't look at me, don't look at me. This body doesn't belong to you. You have no right to look at it. You have no right. So lower your gaze. That was the khimar, that was the jilbab sense. That's the message. When you see this woman covered, she's telling you, have a sense of shame. Lower your gaze. Don't look at me. But if you are revealing and you're dressed and hardly nothing is covered, what message are you sending? You are inviting the lustful eyes to look at you. You are inviting everyone, all the passers-by, look at me. Look at me. Once I saw an ad, it says, do you want to know how to make, to turn heads, how to turn heads, the heads of the men? This is how you should, what you should do. This is how you should dress. So when you pass by a group of men, everyone will turn his neck and try to have a look. Turning heads. But if you are dressed, no one will look at you. If you are covered, no one will look at you. And that's why they are attacking the hijab and the niqab, and because they want the Muslima to display her beauty. They want the Muslima to reveal and to show her body. Because by doing that, the radila, vice, will spread. Immorality will spread. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that we have deficiencies, we have drawbacks, we're not perfect. So he's telling us, I am Ghafoor and Rahim. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. And in the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, Sahih Muslim, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صنفان من أهل النار لم أرهما قوم معهم صياط كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس ونساء كاسيات عاليات مميلات مائلات رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت المائلة لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها وإن ريحها ليوجد من مسيرة كذا وكذا. رواه مسلم. The meaning, أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said, that the Prophet ﷺ said. Two are the types of the inhabitants, the denizens of hellfire, whom I did not see. People having flogs like the tails of the ox or the cows with them, and they would be beating people. And the woman who would be dressed but appear to be naked, who would be inclined to evil and make their husbands incline towards it. Their heads would be like the humps of the bukht camel, and the bukht camel are the camels with two humps, inclined to one side. They will not enter paradise, and they would not smell its odor, its smell, whereas its odor would be smelled from such and such distance. Let us reflect on this hadith. So here, this is a prophecy. This is a prophecy. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned 1400 years ago. And we see its fulfillment today. It was difficult for the Sahaba to visualize, to imagine this. It was difficult. But we see the fulfillment of this prophecy every day and night. Sinfan, two types, min ahlina, two types of the people of hell. I haven't seen them. I didn't see them. Lam arahuma. They're not at my time. But they will come. They will come. So this is a prophecy. And the prophecy, by definition, is to mention something to foretell events that will happen in the future. So the first thing the Prophet mentioned, قَوْمٌ مَعْهُمْ صِيَاطْ كَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ. Men they carry in their hands whips like the tails of the cows. They carry in their hands. The commentator, they say this is the policemen. The policemen, they have these whips in their hands, the truncheons and the like. Okay, to disperse demonstrators and all these things. So they carry these in their hands, the siyat, the plural of saut, which means a whip. كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس. They beat the people with such whips. The right police. So this is foretold and mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ 1400 years ago. That's why he said, Lam arahuma, I didn't see them, but they will come. They will come. Then he mentioned, وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. Women, كَاسِيَات. They are dressed عَارِيَات. So, what's this? Contradiction. She's dressed at the same time, naked. Put yourself 1400 years ago, how she is dressed and naked. You find difficulty to imagine this picture. But today it's not difficult for you. You see them all over the place. They have pieces of cloth, yeah? Are these pieces of cloth covering their bodies? No. And you see how, subhanAllah, what happened to the mindset of the Muslims. Mindset of the Muslim. Yes, 1 century ago, or less than that, Muslims are covered from head to toes. And see today. How they look. And subhanAllah, some women, they just put a scarf like that and a skirt, okay, up to half of her leg. And she thinks this is hijab. This is Muslim. She's decent, and this is hijab. Leave alone those who are, they don't put anything. When you say on kasiyat, ariyat, women, they are dressed yet naked. At the same time, they are naked. Okay? Most of the body is shown. Or she is wearing something tight, which means the same thing. And transparent. Then he said, he described them, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, mumilat, ma'ilat, mumilat. The meaning, the male means inclining, to incline. Okay. Something mala means it inclines either side. So they are not straight. They bend to one side. So their attitude, their behavior is abnormal. Abnormal. Ma'ilat. And even they walk. Then when they walk, they are swaying, swaying. To walk seductively, to seduce men. Ma'ilat, mumilat. Okay. So this description is very, very precise. So they are not upright, ma'ilat, inclined towards what? Not towards good, towards virtue. No, they are inclined towards vice, evil, ma'ilat. And because of this inclination, because of this diversion, they cause others also to go astray, to incline towards evil, because they are live examples. They are advocates for immorality. Ma'ilat, mumilat, they cause others also to incline towards the haram. Towards the haram. Ma'ilat, mumilat, ma'ilat. Other narration, ma'ilat and mumilat. Ru'usuhunna ka'asnimatul bukht. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he gave additional description describing the hairstyle, the way they they do their hair. رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت. البخت, they are special breed of camels that they have two humps. And you find them in Mongolia and that area, in Asia. Khurasan also. They call it Al-Ibla Al-Khurasaniya. Al-Bukht. Al-Bukht means camels, actually. But they, those with here, they have the two humps. So see the, and you see the hum, how it looks. The hum is like this. So the hairstyle is piled up on top of her head, as if it is a hump. Women, they know that. And there are different styles. So after he, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these two types, the men who have these webs in their hands and the women. Then he said, لا يدخلن الجنة. This is what will happen to them. لا يدخلن الجنة. They will not enter paradise. ولا يجدن ريحها. They will not smell its fragrance. وإن ريحها لا يوجد من مسيرتي كذا وكذا. They cannot smell this fragrance of the Jannah. Though the smell of the Jannah, the odor of the Jannah travels a long distance because they are in the hellfire. They are in the hellfire. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is what our Islam teaches us and our sisters. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is short. So if you are not wearing your hijab, repent and come back to Allah. And don't be fooled by your enemies. Those who invite you to remove your hijab and encourage you to do that, they are inviting you to the hellfire. They are inviting you to disobey your Creator. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he clearly told us, and this prophecy, it is being fulfilled. You can see it. لا يجدن ريحة. They will not smell the fragrance of the Jannah. So this is one of the precautionary measures Islam taught to the Muslims and commanded them to abide by. Another precautionary measures to protect the Muslim Ummah is the lowering of the gaze. You lower your gaze. You don't look at the opposite sex. Because these two eyes, as Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, all these five senses are windows to the outside world. So whatever you see goes to your heart and affect your heart. You watch haram, it will affect your heart. You eat haram, it will affect your heart. You touch haram, it will affect your heart. You smell haram, it will affect your heart. So all the inputs via the five senses, they all these pour into the heart. Into the heart. May Allah Azza wa Jal save our hearts from being corrupted. We need, my dear brothers and sisters, to actualize the ubudiyya. You know now, by now, the ranks of ubudiyya are 25 ranks, right? The ranks of ubudiyya, 25 ranks. So we have to actualize these ranks of ubudiyya if we want to become true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Five senses and five rulings in the Sharia, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah explained. 5 times 5, 25. So for all the five senses, you apply the five rulings of the Sharia. The haram, the makruh, the fard, the sunnah, and the halal. So you apply the five rulings for the sight. Haram, something haram, close your eyes, don't look at it. Something makruh, close your eyes, don't look at it. Something obligatory, fard, look at it. Reading the Quran, look at it. Read in the Mus'haf. Because we are commanded to read. Something recommended, do it. Ponder upon the creation of Allah. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look at the trees, the birds, the forest. And ponder and see the greatness and the beauty in Allah's creation. Something halal. Permissible, it is permissible. You will neither be punished nor will be rewarded. But to watch the haram and undo the makruh, and then you expect your iman to grow, it will never, it will never. Your iman will carry on, will continue falling, falling, falling until it disappears. Yes. If you carry on committing sins, Shaitan will not leave you. He will be promoting you from one sin to another until you leave the deen. You leave the deen. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, and I have mentioned this many times. He mentioned this story. He said in Baghdad, it happened in Baghdad. There was a young man, muaddin, callers to make the adhan. In those days, the muaddin has to climb the minaret, the minaret. So the imam would tell this young man, my son, when you say, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, because you turn your face, close your eyes. Don't look, just close your eyes. And this young man would do that every day, till one day the shaitan whispers into his ears and told him, what's wrong with you? Have a look. In those days, the highest building will be the minaret. And normally the dwellings are around the masjids, the houses. So he's making the adhan, hayya ala salah, the house. Next, there's a beautiful girl standing. So he saw her. Guess what? He didn't complete the adhan. He came down running. Finished. His eyes, he had high eye contact with her. Finished. This cupid arrow hit his heart, came down running, went to that house, knocking. He said, I want to marry you. I told him, what is wrong with you? What happened to you? I want to marry you. Said, it's not the way people, they ask. They come through proper channel through the family. You don't go to the girl and tell her, I want to marry you. Said, okay, where's your father? She said, my father is not here. He will be here in the evening. So he didn't pray the salah. He missed the salah. Finished. So he missed the salah. He just waiting for her father. He came, met her father. Her father told him, son, we are Christians and you are a Muslim. Said, what's the problem? Said, we'll not get you married to my daughter. If you want to marry my daughter, leave al-Islam. Said, I will leave al-Islam, have no issue. Said, okay. Tomorrow if they will make the marriage and sign the wedlock. Guess what? He became Christian. He said, okay, this is the cross. Wear it around your neck. Put it around your neck and tomorrow. And that boy died that very night as Christians. Christians. He left al-Islam. So the shaitan will not leave you till you leave it, the deen. What is the root cause? A look. So one should lower his gaze. If you want to maintain your iman, don't look at haram. Don't watch movies. Don't. Because as Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he said the iman is something very, very tender. Very tender. So the heart of the true mu'min is very soft, tender. Anything affects it. Haram, looking at the haram, affects this and put the black spot in it. You make riba, backbiting, you listen to backbiting, another spot. And you keep adding these black spots in your heart till your heart becomes totally covered in black. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ described, Arran. So, Rana ala qulubihim, so the heart is totally clouded, totally covered. And when you and when one repents and starting making istighfar, this is black spots started disappearing. So my dear brothers and sisters, if we want to maintain our hearts healthy, we need to lower our gaze. Don't look. Don't look at the opposite sex. Don't look at the haram. Even if you are giving a talk, you are lecturing. Lower your head, lower your gaze. Don't look at women. Don't look at them. If you want to protect your iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in Surah An-Nur, ayah 30. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things and protect their private parts. That is pure for them. Verily, Allah is all aware of what you do, of what they do. Beautiful ayah, Surah An-Nur. That's why the Salaf they said, teach your family Surah An-Nur. The Surah of Light. Indeed, it is the Surah of Light. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ للمؤمنين. So Allah is talking to all of us. يغضوا من أبصارهم. To lower their gaze. Some they are trying to misconstrue Allah Musta'an. Say, looking is okay. But staring, that is not okay. But to look, it's okay. What is this? Which language are you talking? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the first look for you, the second against you. If you see something abruptly, that one will not be counted, but the second one, if you have a look again, the angel will write it. Just the look itself. When he was leaving Arafat, I think Al-Fadl ibn Abbas was behind him, and they passed by some pilgrims, women. So Al-Fadl looked at a girl, a woman. So the Prophet, as you know, the Prophet, he sees from behind. So he saw him. He turned his head. He looked from the other side. He turned his head also. And then he said, a young man, I feared that the shaitan is trying to harm him. So this looks in the young woman. So you don't look. So they're telling you, okay, it's okay to look, but don't stare. Now, you apply the five rulings, remember. Haram, lower. Makruh, lower. The ulama is saying, you cannot teach a woman the Quran. Huh? Teaching her the Quran. Cannot do that. while you are looking at her. Okay. So always there should be hijab. والمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. So you lower your gaze from looking at the haram. That's why he used min. Okay, because not all, because you have to see your way. And there are also things halal for you to look at. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the Ansari when he proposed to a woman, did you see her? He said, no. He said, go and have a look. So that, to look at your wife-to-be, future one, that you want to marry, is mandatory to look. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And see the link between the lowering of the gaze and the protection and safeguarding the perfect part. What is the link? The link is very strong. Because the eye triggers the heart, and the heart triggers the private part. وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, الْعَيْنُ تَجْنِي أَزْنَهَا النَّظَرِ. And then he said, وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِّبَهُ. And the private part either approve of it or disapprove of it. So there is a strong connection between the look and the reaction of the private part, because this look will affect the chemistry in your body. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Allah, see who's talking. The one who's talking is the Creator who created us. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. That is purer for them. Azka. This will bring you tazkiyah, purity to your heart. Then Allah ended, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. خَبِير, he is aware. He knows all the details, the minute things. Allah is all aware. Allah knows. Allah knows the blink of the eye. Allah knows the raise of the eyebrow. Allah knows the nod of the head. Allah knows the smile. Allah knows all that. All that he knows. Khabir. Nothing is hidden from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Verily, Allah is aware of all what they do. All what they do. And then the ayah to follow, Allah addressed the woman. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. So listen to this, my dear sisters. Tell the believing woman to lower their gaze. You don't look at men. He's talking to them. He's giving them talk, and all the eyes are on him. He's cute, isn't he? He's cute. Is nice. That's how they talk. And some, double quote callers, Okay, they try to entertain them by cracking jokes and stuff like that, to melt the ice. So you should not look at men. You should lower your gaze. The Sahabiyya, when she saw her husband walking with a group of men, and then the contracts happened before, she was okay with her husband. But now she is comparing him with those around him. Something happened to her heart. Her heart now finished, turned away. She doesn't love him anymore. And she was pious. But what caused that thing to happen to her when she saw her husband among other men? Before, she only sees her husband. But now something happened to her. And she is pious. So she said, I hate kufr after iman, which means to be ungrateful to you. I cannot be a good wife because the heart is not there. So the Prophet ﷺ told her. And this is the evidence of the khula. Are you ready to give him his garden that he gave you? She said, yes. Okay. So if you are looking at men who are more handsome than your husband, you are inviting troubles. The same thing if a man is always looking at women, he will never be satisfied. He will never be. But if he lowers his gaze, he will be on the safe side, and you will be happy with his wife. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting everyone, protecting the men from the women, and protecting the women from the men. Imagine a community when a man sees a woman, he puts his head down. Believe me, nowadays, when you pass by a woman and you put your head down, they start giggling. Why did he put his head down? And I mentioned this story to you before, of this brother. He's, I think, from Morocco in America. This is a story mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad Hassan, Habibullah. He said, because he used to go for da'wah. And this brother, whenever the sheikh is there, he's hafiz Quran, so he would ask the sheikh to listen to him. So on one of these trips, the sheikh asked, where is so-and-so? He's known. So they said, the brothers started smiling, and they said, oh, so-and-so. Ah, way, mashallah. He's very rich and we can hardly see him. And they told him the story. This brother was in the elevator or the lift. And then a young woman entered and she saw this brother with beard. Okay, she was frightened, but to her surprise, he put his head down and he didn't look at her. So when he reached the floor, which he wanted, he came out. She came after him and she followed him. And she told him, am I ugly? Am I ugly? He said, I don't know whether you are ugly. While his head is down, I don't know whether you are ugly or not. She said, why didn't you look at me? He said, why should I? My faith tells me not to look at women. I said, what faith? I said, I'm a Muslim. And my faith, my deen, my religion tells me not to look at women. She said, I want to know about your faith. I said, okay. To cut the story short, they went to the center. They explained to her, she became Muslim. And this happened, this girl, that her father died and she was the sole inheritor. And she inherited a lot of wealth. So Allah blessed him with the rich woman and became a Muslim and pious, mashallah, because she became Muslim. Because this is the barakah of lowering one's gaze. So if we lower, everyone lowers his gaze or her gaze, you will have peaceful life, happy life. قل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن. Tell the believing woman to lower their gaze. وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ and to protect the private parts. And we conclude with this hadith, which is متفق عليه. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, إن الله كتب على ابن آدم حظه من الزنا. أدرك ذلك لا محالة. فزنا العين النظر, وزنا اللسان المنطق, والنفس تمنى وتشتهي, والفرج يصدق ذلك كله ويكذبه. في رواية لمسلم, كتب على ابن آدم نصيبهم من الزنا, مدرك ذلك لا محالة. فالعينان زناهما النظر, والأذنان زناهما الاستماع, واللسان زناه الكلام, واليد زناها البطش, والرجل زناها الخطى, والقلب يهوى ويتمنى, ويصدق ذلك الفرج ويكذبه. متفق عليه. The meaning. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه reported, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah has decreed for man his portion of fornication, which he will inevitably commit. The fornication of the eye consists in looking, and of the tongue in speech. The soul wishes and desires, and the private parts accord with that or reject it. In the version of Muslim, he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, man's share of fornication, which he will inevitably commit, is decreed for him. The fornication of the eyes consists in looking, of the ears in hearing, of the tongue in speech, of the hand in violence, and of the foot in walking. The heart lusts and wishes, and the private parts accord with that, approve of that, or reject it. So this hadith sums up everything. That all these organs, they commit zina. Ayn commits zina by looking at the haram. Now I think you understand why. For the actualizing the ranks of ubudiyya is very essential, because basically, if you apply the five rulings for every one of the five senses, you will be far away from this. So this is the haram look. You look at the haram. The fornication of the tongue, you talk evil. Backbite, slander. And the nafs, the heart, the soul, wishes, has this inclination and desires. And the private parts either accord or reject, approve or disapprove. And this is what happened to every human being. This is the sudden look, the abrupt look where you lower your gaze. So you need, every one of us, we need to safeguard and protect our five senses from watching the haram and indulge into sinfulness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts, your hearts. May Allah protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the iman and taqwa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remaining steadfast on this beautiful deen, the deen of al-Islam, until we meet him and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allah khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair to Sheikh Salam. A beautiful lecture and lesson. By the grace of Sheikh Salam, if we can take some questions. Yes. The format's just the same. If you wish to ask your question verbally, then raise your hand, please. If not, then you can send your question through the text. And when you're ready, Sheikh. Okay, the first question is, what is the difference between a mufti, ustad, sheikh, and imam?
What is the difference between mufti?
Yes, ustad, sheikh, okay. And imam. Yes.
Okay. Sheikh and imam. Actually, these are... Ustad means teacher. Ustad means teacher. Sheikh in the religious context, it means a learned man. Okay, a learned man who knows the deen and he is teaching it. Imam has various meanings. It can mean the leader, which means the ruler. It can also mean imam, which means a scholar who has reached the highest level of scholarship, like Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Bukhari, etc. Or it can mean the leader of the salah in the masjid. Okay. And you can be imam, you can be imam of the masjid, and you can be sheikh, scholar, and you can be also teacher, ustad. Okay. So these are different terms can be used interchangeably, or sometimes the people use them in a specific way. They mean he's a teacher, ustad, or he's a sheikh, that means higher level, and he is the imam of a masjid. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Jazakallah khair, inshallah, they will let me know. Salaam alaikum, sheikh. If the menses of a woman stops flowing and she sees her purity before Maghrib, should she pray both Dhuhr and Asr before this time, or should she only pray Asr?
What time she saw the sign of purity?
Just before Maghrib.
Okay, before Maghrib, she has to rush and take a shower to catch the Asr prayer. Should she pray Dhuhr as well? Some of the scholars and some of the schools, fiqh schools, they say that. Because they consider that these two prayers can be combined. So she has to pray Dhuhr and Asr. But this is weak opinion and it has no evidence to support it. Because she will not be held accountable to pray the Dhuhr because Dhuhr, when at Dhuhr time, she was not in state of Tahara. Asr is because now she is clean, so she has to take a shower and try to pray the Asr. So only the Asr, that prayer which is due when she is in state of Tahara, when the moment that her menses are stopped and the time still available, that means within the time of that prayer, which is like here before Maghrib, and there's sufficient time, so she has to take a shower and pray the Asr only. The Asr. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, and inshallah, it was clear to all the other sisters who benefited from it. Is zakat due on an individual who has halal shares in an Islamic bank or a cooperative society that is up to the nisab, but has financial debt that he is servicing? I think servicing here means paying back. In summary, is zakat due on a person who is owing even though he has shares somewhere else?
The zakah, when you possess the nisab and one lunar year passed over, elapsed, you have to calculate what you have, whether it is cash or shares according to the price and the market. And you have to give 2.5%. Even if you have debts, you cannot deduct the debts and then give zakah on the remainder. First of all, give the zakah in the total. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a woman join her hair with her real hair, what she had cut and kept for some time? Okay, that means she cut her hair, but didn't throw it away. Then they put braiding to take that hair and put it back onto her own hair. It's old hair being joined onto her other hair.
Okay, so she cut her own hair.
Yes.
And kept it, and then later on she put it back.
Yes, into a braid. It's called a weave, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-wasil al-wasila." Okay, la'anallah al-wasila wal-mustawsila. Okay, which means women, they add other hair to their hair. Now the only difference, it is her own hair. Okay, my advice for her not to do this, and you should not. Once you cut your hair, you throw it. Where are you keeping it? Next.
Assalamu alaikum. When someone commits major sin and sought forgiveness, and when Allah forgives them, during the day of judgment, will the forgiven sin be presented to him again?
See, this is the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he forgives. And he doesn't ask you for accountability. That is why he's Ghafoor. He covers it. He forgive it and he covers it. And once he forgiving you, he covers it. So think of the new ones. The sins that he had forgiven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiven, gone. Okay? And he covered them. And on the day of resurrection, what he does subhanahu wa ta'ala with the believers, he just makes them to confess. To confess, that's it. You have done this, you have done that. He doesn't take them throughout all the records of this sins. And the slave would say, yes, my Lord. Say, okay, I have covered them in the dunya. People, they didn't know that you committed these sins. And I am forgiving them today. Go. Subhanallah. That's why this Rabb is so merciful, so kind. Our problem that we don't know him. Had we known Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, who loves us more than our mothers, we will worship him all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the strength to worship him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our shortcomings. Ameen. Next question, please.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. What is our greatest enemy, shaitan or our nafs?
No doubt the shaitan is the greatest enemy, and he is using the nafs. The nafs is one of his agents, one of his tools that he used against us. But the open enemy and the real enemy is the shaitan. And he uses all the different tools. He uses the human beings, he uses the nafs, Ammara Bisu, to trigger and to incite this nafs which commands you to commit evil. So all the things, the mastermind is the shaitan, because he took upon himself to mislead all the children of Adam alayhi salam. So we have to be very careful, as Allah said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخُذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So verily, Satan is an open enemy. So take him as an enemy. Okay, so we need to be very careful and we should not listen to his whispers. And always be in state of the dhikr and istighfar, because if you are in the state of dhikr and istighfar, he will be far away from you. The only time he would come and start to make wiswas and to whisper when you stop the dhikr. So keep always yourself engaged in dhikr. That's how you will be protected. And you'll have this shield around you from its harm and his harm. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah. What does it mean that it is disliked to ask too many questions in religion.
That is at the time of the revelation, at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not recommended to ask about things that Allah didn't make haram. Then the revelation comes down and makes it haram because of your question. So that's at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It doesn't mean that you don't ask many questions to learn your deen. No, it's totally different. Is this clear? Because many people, they misunderstand this hadith. And they quote it out of context. Is this clear?
Yes, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh. We are so much pleased with your teachings. May Allah be pleased with you. Ameen. How can a Muslim man contact a woman who is still in her iddah?
It's haram to approach a woman and to propose to her when she's in the waiting period. It's not allowed to talk to her explicitly or send a message clearly. Insinuating, hinting, that is different. But explicitly, we are not allowed to do that. A Muslim should not do that. You can propose to a woman when her iddah is over. Is this clear?
Yes, Sheikh, very clear. Can a woman retouch perm her hair with relaxer? Well, I would say that's perming means like to curl your hair, and then a relaxer is to straighten your hair.
Okay, so there are two questions here. The highlighting, different colors. I don't know why women they do that. Because again, because this is the fashion. Okay, keep your hair as it is. Okay, that is the color of your hair. Okay, but now if a woman just, also okay. She changed the color of her hair. Is it okay? That is okay, providing she is not imitating the kafir woman. But she can change the color by henna as well. But these things and material they use, they are chemicals, actually chemicals. And chemicals, they affect your hair. They affect your hair. So why should you go for all that trouble? Okay. Regarding the same thing of relaxing it. These are chemicals they use. Is it haram? No, we cannot say it is haram. Is it something recommended? No, what is recommended? To use things natural. So always use natural things. Try to avoid the chemicals because they affect your hair, they affect the skin of the head, scalp. So avoid the chemicals. This is my advice for you. Next, is it clear to the questioner?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Is it permissible to look at a woman if someone is walking in the road and he is still searching to marry a woman?
No. You lower your gaze. That's what I've been talking today. Okay. If you want to marry this woman, okay, go through the proper channel. You know her family, you know their house. Go, and then you are allowed to look at her. To look at her. Or if you are really sincere, okay, very sincere, and you saw her and you looked at her without her knowing, and Allah knows your intention, and then you go to her family, as one of the Sahaba, I think, I remember his name. So when he wanted to marry a woman, Uthayna, the daughter of Al-Dhahaq, I think Amr ibn Maslama or something, he climbed a tree to look at her. And when the Tabi'een saw him doing that, he said, why shouldn't I? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if you have feeling towards a woman, you want to marry her, then you can look at her. Okay? And Allah knows what is in your heart, whether you are sincere or not. If you are not sincere and you look because you want to see her, to marry her, that's okay. But if you looked at her just to satisfy your desire, it is haram. And Allah knows what is there in your heart. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, Sheikh. And that was our last question. So if you'd like to finish up.
Okay, so this brings us to the end of today's talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, preserve you and your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. May Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge and al-amal al-salih and righteous deeds. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allah khaira. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.